Welcome back
to Story Time with David and Bobby. This time with David because David is speaking right
Hooray!
Now.
Hooray!
Because I'm right here getting some water, guys.
Yes. Okay. Well, sorry we were gone for so long, podcast listeners.
Yeah.
But we're back. David has started at one of the local co-ops. He's finishing up first grade with them. So that's what we've been busy with lately. And he's having a great time, right, honey?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Chapter 13, The Loss of the Brig.
What's a brig?
A brig is another name for a ship, I believe.
The loss of the ship?
Yeah.
What ship?
Oh, well, I guess we'll find out. I mean, they're on a ship right now.
What?
Right? Remember, Alan Breck.
Yeah.
Alan Breck and Davy are on a ship.
Can you sing
this
song?
Is,
This is the sword, the sword.
We did it to the tune of Haul Away, right?
Heave Away.
Heave Away. Me jollies, heave away. The sword of Alan Breck. Except we changed it to the squid of Alan Breck. He squirted ink from it and its beak went chomp chomp. The squid of Alan Breck.
He killed everyone with his two-legged man hand.
Two-legged man hand? Okay.
I did anything that rhymes.
No, bye. All right. Chapter 13, The Loss of the Brig. It was already late at night and as dark as ever would be at that season of the year, and that is to say, it was pretty bright, when Hosian clapped his head into the roundhouse door.
"Here," said he, "come out and see if ye can pilot."
"Is this one of your tricks?" asked Alan.
"Do I look like tricks?"
cries
yes,
the captain.
"Yes, he does look like tricks." Mm-hmm.
"I have other things to think of. My brig's in danger."
By the concerned look on his face, and above all by the sharp tones in which he spoke of his brig, it was plain to both of us that he was in deadly earnest. And so Alan and I, with no great fear of treachery, stepped onto deck. The sky was clear. It blew hard and was bitter cold. A great deal of daylight lingered, and the moon, which was so nearly full, shone brightly. The brig was... Thanks, honey. The brig was close hauled so as to round the southwest corner of Island of Mull, the hills of which, and Benmore above them all, with a wisp of mist upon the top of it, lay full upon the labored bow. Though it was no good point for sailing for the Covenant, she tore through the seas at a great rate, pitching and straining and pursued by the westerly swell. Although it was no such ill night to keep season, I had begun to wonder what it was that sat so heavily upon the captain, when the brig rising suddenly on the top of a high swell, he pointed and cried to us, "Look!" Away on the lee bow, a thing like a fountain rose out of the moonlit sea, and immediately after we heard a low sound of roaring.
"What do you call that?"
asked the captain gloomily.
The sea breaking on a reef," said Alan. "And now ye ken where it is, and what better would ye have?"
"Aye," said Hosian, "if it was only one."
And sure enough, just as he spoke, there came a second fountain farther to the south.
"There," said Hosian, "ye see for yourself. If I had kent of these reefs, if I had a chart, or if Sean had been spared, it's not 60 guineas, nor 600, would have made me risk my brig sick a stone yard. But you, sir, that was to pilot us, ye have never a word."
"I'm thinking," said Alan, "these'll be what they call the Tarn Rocks."
"Are there many of them?" says the captain.
"Truly, sir, I am na pilot," said Alan, "but it sticks in me mind that there are tens of miles of them."
Mr. Ryach and the captain looked at each other.
"There's a way through them, I suppose," said the captain.
"Toubtless," said Alan, "but where? But it somehow runs in me mind once more that it is clear under the land. So, said Hosian, we'll have to haul our wind then, Mr. Ryach, and we'll have to come as near in and about the end of the mole as we can take her, sir. Even then we'll have the land to keep the wind off us and the stoneyard on our lee. Well, we're in for it now, and we may as well crack on.
So what he's saying is that they're surrounded by coral reefs, which if they hit those with the boat, they're going to sink. And Alan is saying that he thinks that they will be safer from the reefs if they sail closer to the land.
But they could hit, and the same thing will happen.
Yeah, good. But this is the only choice they have right now. With that, he gave an order to the steersman and sent Ryach up to the foretop. There were only 5 men on deck, counting the officers. These were all that were fit, or at least both fit and willing, for their work. And 2 of these were hurt. So, as I say, it fell to Mr. Ryach to go aloft, and he sat there looking out and hauling the deck with news of all he saw. "The sea to the south is thick," he cried, and then after a while, "it does seem clear in by the land." "Well, sir," said Hosian to Alan, "we'll try your way of it, but I think I might as well trust a blind fiddler. Pray God you're right." "Pray God I am," says Alan to me. "But where did I hear it? Well, well, it must be as it must." As we got nearer the turn of land, the reefs began to sown here and there on our very path, and Mr. Ryach sometimes cried down to us to change the course. Sometimes, indeed, none too soon, for one reef was so close on the brig's weatherboard that when a sea burst upon it, the lighter sprays fell upon her deck and wetted us like rain. The brightness of the night showed us these perils as clearly as by day, which was perhaps the more alarming. It showed me, too, the face of the captain as he stood by the steersman, now on one foot, now on the other, and sometimes blowing in his hands, but still listening and looking, and steady as steel. Neither he nor Mr. Ryach had shown well in the fighting, but I saw they were brave in their own trade, and admired them all the more because I found Alan very white.
"Hook on, David," says he. "This is no kind of death, I fancy."
"What, Alan?" I cried. "You're not afraid."
"No," said he, wetting his lips, "but you'll allow yourself. It's a cold ending."
By this time, now and then sheering to one side or the other to avoid a reef, but still hugging the wind and the land, we had got round Iona and begun to come alongside Mull. The tide at the tail of the land ran very strong and threw the brig about. 2 hands were put up to the helm, and Hosian himself would sometimes lend a help. And it was strange to see 3 strong men throw their weight upon the tiller, and it, like a living thing, struggle against and drive them back. This would have been the greater danger had not the sea been for some while free of obstacles. Mr. Ryach, besides, announced from the top that he saw clear water ahead.
"You were right," said Hosian to Alan. "You have saved the brig, sir. I'll mind that when we come to clear accounts."
And I believe he not only meant what he said, but would have done it, so high a place did the covenant hold in his affections. But this is a matter only for conjecture. Things have gone otherwise than he forecast.
"Keep her away a point," sings out Mr. Ryach. "Reef to windward!"
And just at the same time as the tide caught the brig and threw the wind out of her sails, she came round into the wind like a top, and the next moment struck a reef with such a dunch that threw us all flat upon the deck, and came near to shake Mr. Ryach from his place upon the mast. I was on my feet in a minute. The reef which we had struck was close in under the southwest end of the mole, off a little island they call Airaid, which lay low and black upon the labbord. Sometimes the swell broke clean over us, sometimes it only ground the poor brig upon the reef, so that we could hear her beat herself to pieces, and what with the great noise of the sails, and the singing of the wind, and the flying of the spray in the moonlight, and the sense of danger, I think my head might have partly turned, for I could scarcely understand the things I saw. Presently I observed Mr. Ryach and the seaman busy around the skiff, and still in the same blank ran over to assist them. As soon as I set my hand to work, my mind came clear again. It was no very easy task, for the skiff lay amidships and was full of hamper, and the breaking of the heavier seas continually forced us to give over and hold on. But we were all wrought like horses while we could. Meanwhile, Such of the wounded as could move came clamoring out of the forescuttle and began to help, while the rest lay helpless in their bunks, harrowed me with screaming and begging to be saved. The captain took no part. It seemed he was struck stupid. He stood holding by the shrouds, talking to himself and groaning aloud, whatever the ship hammered on the rock. His brig was like wife and child to him. He had looked on day by day at the mishandling of poor Ransom, but when it came to the brig, he seemed to suffer along with her. All the time of our working at the boat, I remember only one thing, that I had asked Alan, looking across at the shore, what country this was, and he answered, it was the worst possible for him. It was the land of the Campbells. We had one of the wounded men told off to keep watch upon the seas and cry us warning.
It's his best.
Well, Davy likes he knows one good guy named Campbell. But Alan knows a lot of bad guys named Campbell, including, was it the Red Fox?
Mm-hmm. The Red Fox.
We had one of the wounded men told off to keep a watch upon the seas and cry us warning.
Yes, I have fixed this.
Oh, it looks great. Very nice. You want to tell our podcast listeners what you made?
So this is back to the original set. Steve's, what is it, the set called?
I think it was Steve's Desert Oasis or something like that.
No, it's not the Oasis. It was right there.
Expedition?
Yeah, Expedition. Mm. I was so generous to the camel.
Very good.
The baby camel. I gave it a leg to eat.
I love it. So you have to explain to the podcast listeners what it is because they can't see it.
Okay. So we have Steve from Minecraft with his weapon.
What's it made out of?
Lego.
And
we have a Lego Minecraft crafting table. His weapon. It's an axe, pickaxe, diamond, fireplace, and another one for to cook his food, cactus for the camel to eat, and a pot for him, the fish.
I love it. Very nice,
it's
honey.
The Oasis. Oops.
We had one of the wounded men told off to keep a watch upon the seas and cry us warning. Well, we had the boat about ready to be launched when this man sang out pretty shrill, "For God's sake, hold on!" We knew by his tone that there was something more than the ordinary, and sure enough, there followed a sea so huge that it lifted the brig right up and canted her over on her beam. Whether the cry, it means it flipped the ship over.
You should have said capsize.
Yeah. Whether the cry came too late or my hold was too weak, I know not. But at the sudden tilting of the ship, I was cast clean over the bulwarks and into the sea. I went down and drank my fill and then came up and got a blink of the moon, then down again. They say a man sinks a third time for good. I cannot be made like the other folk then, for I would not like to write how often I went down or how often I came up. All the while I was being hurled along and beaten upon and choked and swallowed whole. Then the thing was so distracting to my wits that I was neither sorry nor afraid. Presently I found I was holding a spar, which helped me somewhat. Then all of a sudden I was in quiet water and began to come to myself. It was the spare yard that I'd got hold of, and I was amazed to see how far I had traveled from the brig. I hailed her indeed, but what was plain was she was already out of cry. She was still holding together, but whether or not they had yet launched the boat, I was too far off and too low down to see. While I was hailing the brig, I spied a tract of water lying between us where no great waves came, but which yet boiled white all over and bristled in the moon with rings and bubbles. Sometimes the whole tract swung to one side like the tail of a live serpent. Sometimes, for a glimpse, it would have all disappeared and then boil up again. What it was, I had no guess, for which the time increased my fear of it, but I now know it must have been the roost or tide race, which had carried me away so fast and tumbled me about so cruelly. and at last, as if tired of that play, had flung me out and the spare yard upon its narrow, its landward margin. I think that is a riptide, is what he's talking about.
What's a riptide?
It's a very fast moving area of current in the ocean.
I know what a current is.
Yeah, it can sweep you out to sea very quickly, like in seconds.
Like as quick as a cheetah?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those things are so fast.
Mm-hmm. I now lay quite becalmed and began to feel that a man can die of cold as well as of drowning. The shores of The shores of Airaid were close in, and I could see the moonlight, the dots of the heather and the sparkling of the mica in the rocks. Well, I thought to myself, if I cannot get as far as that, it is strange. I had no skill of swimming, S and Walter being small in our neighborhood, but when I laid hold upon the yard with both arms and kicked out with both feet, I soon began to find that I was moving. Hard work it was, and mortally slow, but in about an hour of kicking and splashing, I got well in between the points of Sandy Bay, surrounded by low hills. The sea here was quite quiet. There was no sound of any surf. The moon shone clear, and I thought in my heart that I had never seen a place so desert and desolate. But it was a dry land, and when it at last grew so shallow that I could leave the yard and wade ashore upon my feet, I cannot tell if I was more tired or more grateful. Both, at least, I was tired as I never was before that night, and grateful to God, as I trust I have often been, though never with more cause. My goodness, there was a lot of complicated words in that chapter. All right, so what happened in that chapter?
The ship capsized.
Yeah, they hit a coral reef, and they capsized, and Davy, what happened to Davy? No, he didn't die. He's the hero of the story. He's not dead. He got flung into the water.
Where's Ben gone?
This is not the same story. That was Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson. This is Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson.
He should put up. Where's Ben gone?
So Davy got flung into the ocean, and he was able to swim to shore. That's what happened. And now he's swum to shore. And the next chapter is chapter 14, The Islet.
What's it?
Which is another name for a very small island.
The island?
No. Very small island.
Yeah.
As big as your knee. Mm-hmm. You can put one foot on the island and that's it.
Is that actually the size?
No. It would be a bigger than your knee, I would think. All right, you can say bye, podcast listeners.
Bye, podcast listeners.
Bye! Hopefully we'll see you before too long. Well, we'll be able to share our book with you before too long. Too much luck. Bye!
Bye. Thank you.